the people. I am your host, Alex Jones, coming to you over a landline. Tom Papert will be guest hosting from his TV studios in Kansas. But we are not in Kansas anymore. Constitutional lawyer Norm Pattis has talked to his sources inside the Federalist Society that are very close to the White House. And I've talked to Pentagon sources. President Trump is set to declare a ban on interstate travel, not just aircraft, but vehicles and people traveling across state lines as early as 8 p.m. tonight. He's already made the decision to do it, but there are desperate groups there explaining to him that it will devastate the economy and that it probably won't stop the virus in the end. This thing is clearly an authoritarian tool to bring down the U.S. economy launched by the globalists and Chi-Coms. We know it's man-made. Clearly, all these big globalist institutions have created the precedent and the standard of hysteria and phobia that you've got to totally capitulate and have no basic rights and have surveillance drones screaming at you and controlling your every move. The authoritarian government of China set the standard for this right after they lost a trade war with the United States. This is 21st century war. I've criticized the president for not getting ahead of it, saying it's serious, because they would then demonize him. Early on, the conservatives convinced him to not listen to us. Later, he did listen to us, but now I'm concerned he's going to go too far. This is absolutely documented. This is going on. I was already going to have the headline tonight: Trump set to declare martial law over coronavirus hysteria. And then, that was from my Pentagon source and others. Then, Norm Pattis, a very respected national criminal lawyer, you know, right up there, works with Alan Dershowitz, you name it, has high-level sources in the Federalist Society that are meeting with Trump right now at the White House, trying to convince him not to do this. But regardless, this is seismic. Italy has declared martial law 3 weeks ago. France and Spain declared martial law today. President Trump is only trying to line up with other world leaders so that it can't be said that he didn't respond properly. That's the trap the Democrats put him in the deep state. Then when he does that, like block the Chinese flights a month ago, they say he's being racist and hateful. When he blocks the Europe flights, they're saying he's hateful and evil. They're not letting people fly around inside most areas of Europe now. Remember, they praised China shooting people at checkpoints and welding people into their homes. Remember that. That's what the UN praised. That's what our media praised. But when President Trump simply says we might have to control some flights into the U.S., he's a horrible person. So I understand the trap he's in. But to navigate this and to balance this, we're going to break it down with Norm Pattis with the exclusive. And I already knew this was going on. He was set to announce it, I thought, in about a week. And I was going to come on tonight and already talk about this, even though I'm on a short vacation. Well, I'm not on vacation now. I'll be back on full time here because this is so serious. So we're going to go to break here in a moment. And Norm Pattis, constitutional and criminal lawyer, is going to be on and give us this exclusive intel. You're getting this first. There's a live feed at newswars.com. with the headline that I suggest you share. Again, InfoWars is censored on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else, but not NewsWars as bad. So share that link at newswars.com. Global exclusive: Trump to announce interstate travel ban as early as tonight. Experts inside federal government have confirmed to InfoWars exclusively that Trump has already decided to declare martial law. Tune in now. Alex Jones exclusively breaks down President Trump's decision to implement an interstate travel ban as early as this evening, according to experts inside the Pentagon and the White House, in the latest escalation against the coronavirus outbreak. Meanwhile, guest host Tom Papert covers the latest travel ban measures from China to Europe to Israel, in addition to local governments closing schools, sporting events, churches, and large public gatherings until the outbreak is under control. This isn't a drill concerning martial law. This is martial law, everything we've ever warned you of. And specifically, Millie Weaver sent me a clip from her and I on the show 2 years ago saying her Pentagon sources, and she has some incredible sources, folks. People really like Millie. She's got sources as good as ours. I mean, I'm not going to get into them, but it's pretty amazing. They told her they're going to launch a bio attack if everything else fails on Trump. I've even forgotten to play that clip. She's got to come on the show tomorrow, early on the show, and play that clip. Gentlemen, this is a global emergency. emergency exclusive. This is a global emergency exclusive. I am Alex Jones, your host. The article and the live feed that you need to share is posted to newswars.com. Newswars.com. Global exclusive. Trump to announce interstate travel ban as early as tonight. Experts inside federal government have confirmed to InfoWars exclusively that Trump has already decided to declare the equivalent of martial law. I started hearing this about a week ago when I talked to a source that's in central command that's obviously heavily involved in all this. And as Europe sets the precedent in Italy and now in Spain and now in France today of declaring martial law and banning interstate travel, basically, that then sets the bar to where if Trump doesn't do it, then the media will say when there's death, it's his fault. That's how this trap of the phobia and the panic over this virus that's not been proven, to be that deadly. Sure, it's killing some people. Looks like it's designed for old folks. Yes, it's man-made. But this thing is how we're going into global government. We had the UN testing disease X 1 year ago and test marketing it and saying it's going to come. It's going to bring in world government. It's going to smash these nationalists that, you know, don't want to be hooked into a global government. The UN said disease X will be here within a year or two. Then Bill Gates did a tabletop exercise 4 months ago of 60-something million dead. And then now, of course, he's got a vaccine patented, and it's all rolling out with the propaganda. This is an unbelievable time to be alive. And Tom Papert was going to be hosting the show today. He will be here. I taped a very powerful interview with the Motor City Madman on the virus yesterday. That'll be airing in part of the next hour. That's what Ted Nugent. I ended up taping a whole show yesterday for today, but we're preempting that now, much of it, because this is live. This is happening. So Tom will be taking over here towards the middle of the next segment. He'll be doing another segment so that Norm Pattis, a constitutional lawyer, has plenty of time to talk. He has sources in the Federalist Society. He's a renowned national lawyer. And when he texted me about an hour ago with exactly what CENTCOM told me they were told Trump would announce in a week, then we knew this was serious. So, Norm Pattis, thank you for being here. Please explain to people what a ban on interstate travel is, unprecedented in America's history, even during the swine flu that killed 50 million people. We didn't do that. Explain what that is first, and then tell people what your sources, reportedly in ongoing meetings at the White House, begging the president to rethink this, because it will definitely set a deadly precedent and devastate the economy and may not save lives. Norm Pattis.
Well, you know, we've never had an interstate travel ban, so I don't really know what that would mean. But I am told that there's an ongoing debate in the White House as we speak, with members of the legal counsel's office urging the president not to attempt to impose a travel ban. The word is that he's intent on doing so tonight, although I've checked with several journalists I know, and nobody seems to be nobody's been alerted yet of a press conference. That's not to say that one couldn't be held abruptly. And knowing the president's desire to control the airwaves and the extent to which the coronavirus has basically silenced him, it wouldn't surprise me that he would use the time period allotted to the Biden-Sanders debate to preempt the discussion and to once again own the airwaves. But what might a travel ban look like? He may say that any travel, interstate travel, that is travel of citizens or people between the states, is prohibited. That would be almost impossible to impose, especially in regions of the country like New England, where states are very close to one another. I live 75 miles out of New York City. Some of my neighbors work there. It's easy for me to be back in and out of the city, or even out of New Jersey or Massachusetts or Rhode Island from where I live. I don't know how such an imposition could be imposed. We don't have tolls. There aren't border checkpoints. So it's really hard to know what that would mean as a matter of law. When I heard you say in the run-up to this, Alex, that this was akin to martial law, at first I thought that was an overstatement. But as I thought about what you were saying, I guess it would take something like martial law to make that work. Because if there are multiple points of ingress and egress between states, who's going to determine whether somebody is crossed unlawfully? You have to monitor that to occur, and who can do that better than the military or police? So it would be chilling. We are in my office, as we speak, preparing a challenge to this order in the event that it occurs. If you look at the right to travel, the United States Supreme Court has recognized it as fundamental, but it has never anchored that right in a particular clause of the Constitution. The 14th Amendment, for example, has a clause that says the citizens of the various states enjoy the privileges and immunities of other states. That's been taken to mean that when I travel to Texas, I enjoy the rights of a Texas citizen, even though I'm not a Texan. From time to time, the states have tried to impose durational requirements on a person before that person can enjoy the benefits of social welfare, let's say. So a Californian couldn't move to Texas and claim welfare straight away. Those issues have been defeated as a violation of the Privilege and Immunities Clause. In 1999, a case called Saenz, S-A-E-N-Z versus Roe, struck down an imposition on a right to travel without necessarily and explicitly saying, for purposes of this case, we need not identify the source of the right to travel in the text of the Constitution.
And Norm.
Yes.
You're doing a great job. I want you in the next segment to walk through the law and the history of this. But using this hysteria, clearly this global force that's been hyping this and the media hyping it and big tech and the authoritarian states hyping it, they're pushing for an authoritarian benchmark now of basically worldwide tyranny that we've never before seen, communist China as the model, as you and others have been warning. But pulling back from this, I want you to have the floor here first and explain to people. You've talked to folks that are directly in contact with those in the White House legal counsel that are involved in the meetings through the Federalist Society. This is an exclusive that Norm Pattis is giving you. The press does not know this. This is not a joke. This is going on right now. So please, as we go to break here, recap exactly who's meeting, what's going on, and what you were told.
What I'm told is that in the White House right now, President Trump has an intention, a desire, a plan to announce as early as tonight a 30-day ban on interstate travel, that members of his legal counsel's office are attempting to persuade the president that such an order is unlawful and would be a mistake. Whether they succeed or not is an open question. That's all I know at this point. But it comes from a source that is credible enough for me to have people working throughout the night to prepare a legal challenge on this. The minute he makes the announcement, it's our intention to be in court.
And let me just add that, again, I have Pentagon sources that have been telling me that they've been ready for this. We know it's already happened in Europe. This is simply amazing. We're going to break in one moment, but I wanted to see, Tom Papert, what's your first approximation of this? This isn't a drill. This is really happening.
Well, Alex, I'd actually heard the same as you. My two of my sources, one's a radio guy, one lives and works in D.C., have heard that this is coming as soon as next week and that it would coincide with a blanket quarantine, meaning nobody's allowed to go to work. Nobody's allowed to do anything except go to the store or go to the pharmacy. So I was like you, keeping the powder dry, waiting to see if this did come about next week. The fact that this exact plan that I, again, just like you, heard may come as soon as tonight is shocking, and I wonder exactly how long would this go into place before a potential injunction or a potential court could stop it if Norm Pattis is able to get that pushed forward. Again, should it come tonight? I don't know. What would the turnaround be on that, Norm?
We could be in the court. I mean, our goal, you can file 24 hours a day, so we would e-file sometime in the course of the night and ask for an emergency hearing and an injunction and declaratory relief from any judge we could get in front of tomorrow.
I want to just make a point as we go to break. I want to make a point. The same Democrats that said we couldn't ever close the border or even check people for bubonic plague and drug-resistant TB that kills tens of thousands a year and all these deadly strains are the ones saying the president hasn't done enough yet, basically pushing him into this position. So it's outrageous that we can't have external borders. But now we're not going to be able to leave our houses, folks. And the left thinks it's wonderful and wants to make us all telecommute. This is all about turning the whole world into a prison planet. Where have I heard of that? PrisonPlanet.com and my film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. We're going to go to break. Tom Papert's here. We have Norm Pattis here. Pattis is such an expert on this that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come in next segment, make my final statement on this. And then I'm going to hand it over to Tom Papert. And I'm going to hand it over to Norm for the rest of the hour. And then next hour, we've got important videos and things about the martial law taking place under parts of the world. Infowars.com, Newswars.com. You have the live feed and the article, the exclusive on this at Newswars.com. Told everybody to tune in now. This is a global exclusive.
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a global, worldwide exclusive. It is with heavy heart that I tell you that President Trump has already told advisors he is set to declare what is martial law. The most basic nature of martial law, the suspension of basic rights, is the right to travel. Global exclusive, Trump to announce interstate travel ban as early as tonight. Experts inside federal government have confirmed to InfoWars exclusively, and we've named names here for you, of the group that is meeting with Trump right now, that Trump has already decided to declare martial law. And the exclusive live feed is at newswars.com. So if you're listening on a local radio station, tell folks to tune in now to that local station. If you're listening over the internet, or you have family in another city that doesn't have a local TV station or radio station, call them and tell them go to newswars.com or send them that top story at newswars.com now. That's how we cause a chain reaction on this and get a large debate up front with a top constitutional lawyer who broke you this exclusive information. He'll be breaking down next segment why it's so concerning, what it's going to really do, how communist China set the precedent for this, and why are we following this un-American precedent for a virus that does not look like it's even as deadly as something like bubonic plague that we're supposed to let in from Mexico and allow to spread, including drug-resistant TB. So remember, the very same globalist deep staters that said no borders, no walls, no Europe, no USA at all, that tell people to come from all over the world to get free stuff, the same ones that rammed down the Guatemalan borders and tore down their fences and attacked their military and the Mexican troops and overwhelmed our border, and the same ones that have invaded by the coast with George Soros and the UN funding it, with millions of military-age men bringing in the most deadly diseases and the most deadly culture of sex slavery, you name it. All of that was good. All of that was okay. But now a virus that hasn't even killed as many people worldwide as the flu kills here every year, we're told to capitulate and give up our way of life and stick our head in the sand and make the new American symbol an ostrich. So this has all been a setup. I wish Limbaugh and others were right that, hey, just ignore it. It's not going to be a problem. It didn't matter. The hype and the programming was set to blame Trump if he didn't take action. Then once he does take action, they will always be able to ratchet it up, because if he doesn't do exactly what the authoritarian EU does, if he doesn't do exactly what the authoritarian communist Chinese do and others, they've then set the precedent that, oh, he's a bad guy and the media is already blaming him. So Trump's been put in this trap. But this will devastate the economy, and this will set the precedent to make you commute into work whenever they want. And now new designer viruses will be like the weather report, where you've just got to hunker down in your house and the drones will deliver you from Amazon your food. You can see it all pre-programmed, the entire thing. So it's a global exclusive. I want Norm Pattis, because so many people, constitutional lawyer, at the end of this segment to just recap the group meeting with Trump, what Trump's decided, what this means, then come back with Tom Papert, hosting from his TV studios in Wichita, Kansas, to break down the rest of this. And then we've got Ted Nugent coming on to respond and talk about all this later in the next hour on this live global Sunday transmission, exclusive information. Trump set to ban interstate commerce. Oh, and I'm going to say one more thing, ladies and gentlemen, not just interstate commerce. That was a Freudian slip. Trump set to ban interstate travel, which means it will cripple commerce. So everybody wanting toilet paper and everybody wanting that, know what you want is cigarettes and beer and alcohol, because that's going to be what people want during an emergency. And the Democrats are already running around in Illinois and in New York passing emergency declarations to ban firearms. Oh, I should have led the show with that. I was. To ban firearms and to allow the confiscation and to ban the sale of firearms during this martial law police state drill that we're going into. This is a martial law police state drill. It's a real virus, but they're hyping it up, and the tyranny is the greater threat. This is the 21st century system. It's how the globalists plan to take control, and I just can't believe that people don't understand. It's going to be the liquor stores, and it's going to be the pharmacies, people wanting drugs for being sick or for the panic, It's not going to be the damn toilet paper, ladies and gentlemen. So everybody better understand that essential services will start breaking down. This is going to create a huge panic. And you watch, the globalists are going to launch bigger migrant invasions, I'm predicting. Notice, to coincide with what happened in Europe, Soros and others launched a bigger migrant invasion, and so did Erdogan out of Turkey. So there's going to be other things pop up. I predict a war is going to start. I predict new viruses are going to pop up in the next 60 days. I predict giant migrant floods, we already know are on their way, are going to hammer the United States southwest border during this, and the left will say, we can't control that border, even when you're locked up in your house and can't go down the street. So everybody better get their orders into InfoWars.com right now for the high-quality products, the storable food, the super great immune gargle that's back in, the super awesome whitening toothpaste with the nano silver and the super blue toothpaste that has it, because that'll be the last thing they try to stop, will be the delivery trucks around the country. So it's critical to get your orders in now, because you heard Tom Papert. The next thing they're going to do is try to restrict non-essential travel within cities and towns. They're going to pick a few cities that are the epicenter first to set the precedent. I predict that they start locking Seattle down by the middle of next week. We'll be covering all this as well during the weekday show. That is 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central. We'll have Mike Adams. We'll have Dr. Francis Boyle, that authored the U.S. Biological Weapons Treaty, who's documented this being man-made. He'll be on. We'll also have Norm Pattis on. I'll be on. We'll have so many of the other great crew. Don't forget, David Knight is weekday mornings, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. with excellent analysis as well. And then, of course, Owen Schroyer with the War Room NISO introduction, 3 to 6 p.m. Central. Live coverage from the People's Operation at InfoWars.com. Now, Norm, I'm going to get off here so you can talk, and so Papert can recap what you discovered from the White House today, confirmed by my Pentagon sources, and how huge this is, and the ongoing imminent announcement, and may Trump back down? Who knows? Norm Pattis, please take over.
I was in my office on a Sunday afternoon doing what lawyers do, preparing for a week of litigation, when I got a call from somebody with connections to the White House. This was somebody had heard through members of the Federalist Society that President Trump has apparently made a decision to announce this evening a 30-day ban on interstate travel. And this, of course, has the White House legal counsel's office in an uproar, because such a move would be unprecedented and probably unlawful in the United States. So as we speak, there is a debate going on in the White House about whether the president has the lawful authority to impose an interstate travel ban. This has sent me and lawyers in my office to the law library to figure out if he does, and it's unclear. The United States Supreme Court has held that the right to interstate travel is a fundamental constitutional right, but it's never been pinned to an exact clause of the Constitution. Some people think it's implicit in the Fifth Amendment's right or guarantee of due process of law to all people in the United States. Others think it's part of the Privileges and Immunities Clause in the 14th Amendment. But in 1999, the last time the court ruled on the right to travel in a case called Sienz, S-A-E-N-Z versus Roe.
Norm Pattison, Tom Papert here. We're getting ready to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about definitely the legality surrounding this, but I also want to get into why President Trump thinks this is the right bet. As you alluded to earlier, he's kind of in a damned if you do, damned if you don't with the Democrats calling for this tyranny. And then, of course, once they get it, they will holler at him as a tyrant for doing it. Don't go away.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to this global exclusive. I'm Tom Papert, nationalfile.com, here with Norm Pattis, one of the country's most successful trial attorneys. He has an amazing win ratio, and he is delivering crucial information about the future of this country as we brace for this coronavirus epidemic. And really, it's the panic that I think is getting people in trouble. Norm is breaking down what President Trump is about to do, according to all reports. According to Norm Pattis' sources, we are looking at a total ban on interstate travel. Norm, you were breaking down the legalities of this, and that it is rather unclear whether or not this is something the president could get away with. But why do you think President Trump thinks this is a good idea?
Apparently, he's late to the game as to the coronavirus. I mean, I'm in the Northeast, close to New York City. I hear a lot. The hospitals are terrified. Medical professionals are bracing themselves for an inability to care for all the people that will become ill. And the thinking appears to be that if we can slow down interaction between people, increase social distancing, the virus won't take root quite as deeply, quite as quickly, and we'll be able to deal with the most critically ill. So I think this is a misplaced gesture on Mr. Trump's part, believing that if he locks the country down, the virus can't spread. The problem is that it's an overreaction. I think everyone agrees that there's going to be social transmission of it. And you begin to wonder about his secondary motives. He appears not to have given the issue much thought. He eviscerated the Department of Public or the CDC, rather. And now the CDC is playing catch up. And I think rather than dealing in a narrowly tailored fashion with issues that are clearly within the national government's authority, he's overreaching. Now, some say, and I've heard Alex say it, I don't know you, you may believe it, that this is part of a larger conspiracy to destroy civil liberties in the country in the name of an overarching set of powers. I certainly hope not, but I do think that big tech and the emergence of AI creates an unusual world. In 1776, Adam Smith rather wrote The Wealth of Nations, and he talked about the power of markets. And he said there's an invisible hand, and that invisible hand allocates resources efficiently. And if we interfere with it, we create inefficiencies. But here's a question that I think AI raised, and that is, can an algorithm sufficiently powerful, armed with a vision of human welfare, efficiently, more efficiently than a market, allocate resources? My hunch is that there are plenty of people, call them globalists, who think that so. However, here's the issue. Somebody has to create the algorithm. And if it's the 1% or the people sitting in Silicon Valley, or if it's Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg and people with enormous wealth who secretly control the algorithm, deciding who has access and who doesn't, then it's not so much AI determining what best promotes human happiness. It's AI imposing a particular version of human happiness. So I think the history of this country has always been that government is regarded with distrust and that we, the people, retain sovereignty. That's what distinguishes us from China, which has an organic conception of the state, where individuals are subservient cogs in a larger wheel. It's what distinguishes us from Europe, which really does not have a Bill of Rights with the teeth that ours does. So I think we're at a constitutional turning point here. I think that, you know, that talks about suicide by despair and the sense of disentitlement and flyover country that caught the elite by surprise in the 2016 election. I think it's time for the people to roar back. I don't know if you have the means to post the number of the White House switchboard, but in my fantasy life, the White House switchboard gets a million calls within the next hour saying, do not suspend interstate travel. Because if you do that, I'm not going to be able to get materials from interstate travel, or the alternative, the federal government's going to have to license people at the border. I may not be able to travel to my job across state lines. I may not be able to visit my family across state lines without a permit. If you're going to license travel, if you're going to have permits to travel, what do you need to enforce that? You need an overwhelming show of force at each and every border. What institution can do that? You know, I don't know. I'd like to think this is not a prelude to martial law, but if you're going to have a rule that needs to be enforced, you need an enforcement agency. And I guess that would be the military. So I think the president is panicking. I think that there are forecasts of enormous numbers of deaths, and the federal government's been caught unprepared. But contrast this with the great flu influenza virus pandemic or epidemic in 1918. We lost 650,000 Americans to influenza-related deaths in 1918. That was 13 times more than the total number of American casualties in World War I. But yet we pressed on with dignity. Yet we pressed on with state sovereignty. Yet we pressed on with a commitment to individual liberties. It wasn't perfect, but it wasn't a wholesale abdication of individual responsibility and bowing in the direction of the state that we seem prepared to do, and that Donald Trump would be the vehicle of this message, to me is shocking.
I completely agree with your analysis, spot on. And I would just add, in 1918, President Wilson actually got that flu. He continued with his job. He did not force Americans to do anything insane. Churches willingly canceled their own services. People locked themselves down. It blew over in a few years with a tragic amount of deaths. Norm, in the next segment, we'll read off that White House switchboard number. We had it up on screen so TV viewers could get that in the next segment as well. And I guess I can ask, well, we've still got a couple seconds left here. We've got about 3 minutes. To me, it seems as though at this stage, of course, we're still 10 to 15 days behind Italy. If you just look at a one-to-one comparison between the two countries, it seems so far the panic is worse than the virus. Now, that is very likely to change. But do you think if President Trump does this, if he goes ahead with this, I mean, what do you imagine that will do to the Americans who are already out there hoarding, of all things, toilet paper? I mean, that can only create more panic, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there was a wonderful piece. It will create more panic. There was a wonderful piece in yesterday's Wall Street Journal that talked about the history of epidemics in the United States and how we typically had them in the 50s. You know, Salk created the polio vaccine. Those of us of a certain age recall friends just a little bit older than us who may have had polio. We got over that. We've eliminated cholera. We've eliminated, you know, the mumps and measles for the most part, although they're on their way back. We've become complacent and seem to think that we've won our battle against the microbe. But evolution has a way of continuing to advance and new organisms appear. I think we were caught with our public health pants down this time around. And there is collective benefit and collective good in things like the CDC. I wish the president paid a little more attention to hard science and a little less attention to his Twitter race, to his Twitter feed. My deepest fear is that if he announces something tonight, it'll be just as a means of preempting Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden's debate. Because if there's one place where Trump is comfortable, that's as at the front of the media line. And he's not been there for a while.
That, again, is completely accurate. You say his Twitter feed. I would add Fox News, which, except for one commentator on that network, has been completely downplaying this to the point where they've now suspended a couple of reporters who called coronavirus a Democrat scam. And, of course, the big part of the scam, I think, is this panic. The reason why people are going out and buying entire stores worth of toilet paper and putting them in the back of their truck. So, Norm, in the next segment, we've broken down kind of what's going to happen. It's going to create more panic. It's going to create a constitutional turning point. It's going to possibly necessitate martial law, because if you're keeping people, I mean, there's major highways. There's also just rural streets that go from state to state in this country. To shut all of this down, you're going to need some type of occupying force on every single state's border. It just does not seem like something that is going to be done without, as you alluded, the military or the National Guard or a bunch of militarized police or something. And I this can only end in martial law, in my opinion, if this goes through. So, Norm, we've got about a minute left. In the next segment, I want to break down the legalities of this, assuming you've got time. But we've got about 45 seconds. How is this going to go? Say this happens tonight. You're in court tomorrow. We've got about 40 seconds. How will this work?
We'd ask for an emergency hearing, an order of a temporary restraining order or injunction, barring this order from going into effect. And then if we didn't get that, we'd ask for an immediate right to take an appeal to a federal appellate court in New York City. That's the Second Circuit Court of Appeals for this part of the country. Barring that, we'd make an emergency run at the United States Supreme Court. So it would be about a week to 20 days of very intense legal fighting.
A week to 20 days of very intense legal fighting. Who knows what happens between then? I want to dive deeper into this because a lot of Americans are going to be worried. I mean, you know, like folks like you who you might live in one state and work in another. Those of us in the Midwest may not have to worry about that. What about places like Kansas City where it's right on the border? This is going to raise a lot of questions and has a lot of people on edge. We'll be right back.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Tom Papert, editor-in-chief, nationalfile.com, here with Norm Pattis, one of the country's most successful lawyers, who got startling news earlier today that President Trump is actively pursuing and may indeed announce tonight a ban on all interstate travel in the United States of America. It would be crippling to the economy. It would only add to the growing amount of panic that we're seeing in this country. It may or may not even be legal. So, Norm, in the last segment, you said one of the things things that folks should do is immediately call the White House, leave a message saying that you do not want this to happen. You are opposed to this morally, economically, everything. Well, that number for radio listeners, we had it on screen in the last segment, but for radio listeners, that is 202-456-1414, 202-456-1414. And I do want to remind everybody as well, I mean, you're now looking at a delay if you go to InfoWarsStore.com and try to buy storable food, but it's probably better late than never. It's also a good time to get products on InfoWarsStore.com that will boost your health, boost your immune system, give you a chance to not get the regular flu, not get the cold, definitely not get coronavirus just by having a healthy immune system. It's the same reason we all buy fruits and vegetables and the reason why we should all be getting 8 hours of sleep a night, especially in cold and flu and coronavirus season, it's being called by some. So, Norm, in the last segment, we started to talk about the legality of this. You described very well the process that you would take as a lawyer, as a person who runs a very successful law firm, what you would do should this announcement be made. And you said it could be a week to 20 days, a very, very messy, awake through the night, running on coffee, a law fair, I guess is what you call this, to try to keep this from happening. Describe what that might look like. I mean, is this something that is going to, if God forbid this happens in the next few hours, and it's not immediately shot down by the first judge who sees it, is this going to go into effect?
Well, it may, although I'm told that since I got a tweet from somebody or a text message from somebody during the break, that there's a press conference going on right now and that the president may have walked it back. And that we checked the president's Twitter feed. Apparently, he made some sort of crack about don't buy so many groceries. Everybody calm down. And apparently, Mike Pence is still speaking now, or so I'm told. I'm on the phone with you. But let's assume that there is a legal challenge to this. The first question is who's a plaintiff? And that would be anybody who has standing. It would be anybody that has the right to travel. So any citizen, we'd have to find somebody to bring the action under. I may bring it under my own name because I have to travel down to Austin to work with Alex once a month. I don't want to be banned from doing my job. Then you file a complaint in court, a short and plain statement together with briefs about why you think this is an unconstitutional infringement on people's liberties, why it breaks a fundamental right of ours. You have a quick hearing in front of the judge. You ask for first an ex parte hearing. In other words, you say the government shouldn't even have a chance to be heard on this. This is transparently outrageous. If the government grants that, or if the court grants that, then there could be a stay while the government had a chance to respond. That's extraordinary. If we didn't get that, then the government would have a very brief period within which to respond, and there'd be argument before the district court judge. That judge would then make a decision, most likely from the bench. The loser would then have an opportunity to take an immediate appeal to the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, and I believe that court would hear it quickly. That the loser of that battle then would have an opportunity to take a writ of certiorari, which is a request to the United States Supreme Court that they hear the matter promptly. I think all of that could take, up to 20 days to play that cycle out, which from a lawyer's perspective is the speed of light. I chuckled when you talked about coffee and sleepless nights. Those are just what goes with the turf in a law firm. But this would be an extraordinarily stressful period. I think it'd be one of those cases where the courts would drop everything to hear it, because such a move is unprecedented in the United States. The closest thing that comes to mind is Abraham Lincoln's suspension of the writ of habeas corpus during the Civil War. But that was when there was a civil war, when states had sought to secede from the Union, and we were actually killing one another. And I think Lincoln's calculus at that point was when the very republic is at issue, extraordinary means are necessary to protect it and to save it. I think President Trump may say something like, suspending fundamental constitutional rights is the same thing. I'm just not so sure I'm prepared to follow him there when what's assaulting us is nature. I whether the coronavirus is man-made or not, that's beyond my pay grade. All I know is that people are getting it state by state, and a significant number of them are dying. Me and my family are taking precautions. I don't think we're being hysteric. We just recognize the risk. I'm not sure that we want the government trying to make life risk-free by the suspension of our civil liberties, but I fear that many Americans have come to that point. And why do I say that? look at the debate about privacy with respect to big tech, with respect to Twitter, with respect to Facebook, with respect to Google. People are saying such things as, I am prepared to give up some of my privacy so long as I get more security. I guess the next step, as we habituate ourselves to the loss of these things, is I guess I'm now prepared to sacrifice my liberty for the sake of life. There was a time when a rallying cry in this country was give me liberty or give me death. And I think we need to reconsider those words carefully. This virus is not a political creature, as near as I can tell. It's an equal opportunity killer. And I think we need a collective public health response to deal with it. I don't think that collective public health response should be politicized. And I definitely don't think it should be politicized at the extent of our loss of liberty.
Again, brilliant analysis from Norm Pattis. So, Norm, I was reading some of the play-by-play of that press conference President Trump was having. So they did not make this announcement. They did forecast a massive uptick in coronavirus cases because now more testing has been made available. They have cautioned people to kind of what you said, to that the supply chain is being disrupted, but there is no actual shortage of food and supplies. It seems as though they're now trying to stave off a panic or a greater panic than what we're seeing right now. I mean, it's getting kind of insane. I've heard reports of fist fights in parking lots on the East Coast. But it seems as though the goal right now is to stave off the panic. But what I had heard is essentially similar to what Alex had heard, which is that this was going to come in a week. And what you just said, that Americans are getting more and more used to the idea of their civil liberties being erased. I mean, I come from a generation that has lived with TSA for as long as I can remember. My first flight, TSA was there groping me.
Alex Jones here popping in back live. I just had to call him because this is so historical. Here I am a few hours ago learning Trump's set to have a press conference from White House sources that Norm has talked to, and I have my other sources, for essentially martial law. He was against this early on, but they put him under pressure in the media saying he's bad, deaths are on his hands, basically putting him into this. But now I guess we're learning that he did decide to put the announcement off because he was being pressured not to do it. This is just simply incredible. Second hour is coming up, but I just wanted to call in and ask Norm this because I heard you guys talking about it. Sorry to interrupt again. Alex Jones here calling in his own show. Norm, go back and repeat exactly what your source, the Federalist Society, said, because that mirrored what I was getting from the Pentagon, but I was told it was in 1 week that they were pressuring him not to do this. What were their reasons for that? And it looks like he's not done it yet.
About an hour and a half ago, I received a call from someone who said sources in the White House reported that President Trump was prepared this evening to announce a 30-day travel ban on interstate travel in the United States, and that his legal counsel's office was urging him not to do so on the grounds that such a move would be unlawful. What other policy arguments took place, no one told me that. But from a lawyer's perspective, the claim was, look, Mr. President, you just can't do this in the United States. Such a move would be unprecedented. And it appears that they won the debate, at least for tonight.
Well, but as Europe locks down, everybody else locks down, and then we do see, I mean, let's face it, China's an authoritarian country, but they don't fight as much as we do, just like Japan. When they have an earthquake, they don't kill each other. America has been so divided and so programmed to destroy ourselves. And we've got 40 million illegal aliens, and we've got 50 million people hand-to-mouth, almost 100 million on welfare, but 50 million, it's estimated, hand-to-mouth. This is a gigantic time bomb, ladies and gentlemen. And with the homeless and the fentanyl and the Chi-Coms hitting us with the fentanyl, it's just an insane time. Coming up next hour, Tom Pappert is going to be finishing up here, and we've got a big exclusive interview. I taped it yesterday with the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent, so that's coming up for several of the segments, but there'll be a few live segments coming up. We're going to air a short piece by Greg Reese at about 6 after or so when we start the next hour, where he details the fact that this is the perfect cover for a global financial reset, and we talked about this months ago. Now they're admitting that, so make no mistake, this is a manufactured virus. It's been released by the deep state and the globalists with the Chinese communists. It's man-made, and they don't want us to discuss that, even though mainline science and top universities are confirming it. So we've got to expose where it came from, its origin, to understand who's behind it and how to stop it. So, Norm Pattis, please join us again tomorrow during the weekday show. Thank you so much, Norm.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, guys. Be well.
You bet.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is with a very sad heart that I have to report to you that our detailed deep immersion and deep dive into researching the globalist attack profile and how they plan to bring in total world government and defeat the free market system and Christianity would be bioweapons. And the fear that comes out of it, you could see it with Hollywood and all the pre-programming. You could see it with the Disease X UN announcements of over a year ago and the Bill Gates preparations. They don't do something this big without massive preparations, and they're behind it. And they're the ones running it. And we don't know every facet of the attack plan, but we know it's synthetic. We know it's from the globalists. We know Democrats are passing laws or making emergency declarations in Illinois and other areas like New York to confiscate firearms. They are going to use this, ladies and gentlemen, to teach us to not live in an open, free society. And I interrupted Tom to ask the question of Norm before he left about what it's like to be young. I mean, I'm still pretty young. Think of yourself as young as 46, but Tom's really young, successful businessman, and runs a TV station. But this is really the death of the West. This is the death of freedom. This is the Chinese Communist Social Score showing us how it protected them from their own man-made virus. So this is hysteria. This is evil. We predicted it almost 7 weeks ago. We laid it out that it's the hysteria that's the danger, not the virus. But there's other mutations of the virus. There's a lot of stuff going on. And if we pass the test and submit to the tyranny and submit to this, then they're going to launch even more deadly bioweapons in the future because they have the incentive to, because we behave and we lock down and we do what they say during it, and then they can give us the forced inoculations. They can make us submit to them. It's already out that the flu shots are sterilizing men. This is all about sterilization. This is all about forced inoculation. This is all about world government. So I have to tell you, the Democrats wanted to keep the borders wide open. They wanted to do all of this. I'm going to oppose Trump if he, you know, says lock down everything. I'm not going to call for uprisings or anything like that. But I'm just going to point out that the borders have been wide open and the left wanted that. So why should we lock down all the cities now, setting the precedent that every time there's some novel virus out there that we're not sure how many people it kills, that we all just throw all of our freedoms out the window? I understand that riding along on this big wave of hysteria would be financially successful for us. And I want people to be prepared and ready, and I'm proud of what we've done to do that. But not so much for this virus, but for the globalists trying to cause a new civil war, a race war, a financial collapse. Because make no mistake, this is the cover for that. So government doesn't get blamed during a collapse. Government will be the solution and the savior during the collapse. And behind that government is the technocracy that controls the enforcing AI and the systems that we know are not of this world and are anti-human. So I'll be back tomorrow live, Lord willing, with Tom Papert, many others at 11 a.m. Central. I'll now be hosting. I can never go on a short vacation. That's okay. Wild horses couldn't drag me away. I'm actually in Texas, very close to Austin, trying to spend some time with the family. But I will be in tomorrow. Tom Papert's about to take over for a few segments, and then we have the powerful Ted Nugent interview on this very subject coming up. Back to Tom Papert of NationalFile.com. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. We told you it was all coming. It's happening exactly as we said. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the New World Order is real, and it's evil, and it hates you in your guts, and wants to kill you.
We'll have more analysis on the other side of this short break, as long with a couple of great reports and that exclusive interview that Alex recorded yesterday with the one and only Ted Nugent. But I do just want to point out, piggybacking on what Alex just said, this was all predicted here on InfoWars, on National File, and on InfoWars.com, NewsWars.com, to the letter. The disease was bad, maybe not as bad and lethal as it's being promoted to be. Oh, it's the hysteria that's going to be the problem. This was all predicted. This was all broken down on this very network by that very man. I was happy to be a part of it, but Alex's analysis on coronavirus has thus far been 100% dead on the money, and I certainly hope that Alex's voice, along with those who are attempting to persuade President Trump, are successful in getting him to stave this off. It's insane. We have an open border with Mexico. We have an open border with Canada, where the prime minister's wife is sick. It's not going to work. It's not going to calm things down. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break. Just look past the way I lost watching The Alex Jones Show in the middle of this global broadcast, this global exclusive. We, of course, just heard a litany of news from Norm Pattiz. Alex Jones buzzing in. He tried to take a vacation. The man just cannot leave this studio, not in 2020, this very important election year. There's a new report out. It's available or will be shortly on Band.video by Greg Reese, and it explains how the coronavirus is the perfect storm for a global currency reset. Let's view this clip now.
In 1816, the gold standard, an economic unit of account based on a fixed quantity of gold, was officially adopted, and the world reserve currency became the British pound sterling. In 1914, after World War I, nations attempted to revive the gold standard, but it collapsed during the Great Depression. Also in 1914, the Federal Reserve Bank, a private company, was born. After Britain was devastated by World War II, they were no longer a superpower, and so the global reserve currency needed to be reset. In 1944, at the Bretton Woods Conference, the U.S. dollar became the new global reserve currency. This established America as the dominant power in the world economy, giving America the sole ability to print dollars. The rest of the world would need to trade their own currency against the U.S. dollar in order to balance exchange rates, keeping the international economy vibrant and fluid. But by the 1960s, the United States had printed more USD than their gold reserves could cover. And by 1970, a growing American trade deficit was undermining the value of the dollar. On August 15, 1971, President Richard Nixon brought an end to the gold standard. Federal Reserve notes, a fiat currency backed by debt rather than gold, became the new standard. This is basically no different than an IOU. As one would expect, right after President Nixon gave his speech, inflation began to rise, and America's biggest export became debt. The creation of the petrodollar gave the U.S. even more sway over world economies, and today, the international debt has become untenable. And many are saying another global currency reset is needed. Historically, the gold standard has been the most stable economy we have known, but gold can be manipulated and disruptive as well. Some are suggesting that cryptocurrency could be the solution. Crypto is run by an algorithm and can be designed to meet specific needs. The global currency needs to have fluid supply, and the limited gold supply failed to keep up with economic growth. A sovereign-free, algorithm-based alternative could potentially be more stable. China is almost ready to launch their own cryptocurrency, DCEP, short for Digital Currency Electronic Payments. DCEP is government-controlled and fully centralized. So far, it appears to be a digital version of fiat paper money. The Federal Reserve Bank is developing their own crypto called Fedcoin. The coronavirus pandemic seems to be the perfect storm for a global currency reset. The amount of money printing involved in holding up failing economies as quarantines and shutdowns take place will be unprecedented. And all this does is weaken the U.S. dollar even more. And when the U.S. dollar falls, it will be replaced by something. The question is, which way will it go? This is Greg Reese for Infowars.com.
News today.
That was Greg Reese. The new report is available up at band.video. Make sure to share that. It is instrumental, as Norm Pattiz is one of the most successful lawyers in the country, was just saying in the last hour, these algorithms, the Chinese cryptocurrency, if it's ruled by an algorithm that's made by the Chinese Communist Party heads, I do not trust it, nor do I particularly trust Fedcoin. Last week, we saw them inject $1.5 trillion in the form of quote-unquote loans into to the stock market with the goal of trying to keep it from going down any further. And it lasted all of 15 minutes before totally collapsing. So one of the things Alex brought up, and we will have that exclusive interview with Ted Nugent coming up, I believe, on the other side of this segment. We'll find out. But one of the things that Alex brought up is that President Trump is likely looking at these options because of what's happening around the world. And just as an example, this is up at nationalfile.com. The United Kingdom government gives police emergency powers and may close pubs and ports as well as run crematoriums 24/7. Another article up on nationalfile.com. Police with drones are enforcing the coronavirus isolation in Italy. There's panic buying happening here in the United States. We know that they're buying up the toilet paper, the hand sanitizer, these items that for some reason in 2020 people think they need to survive a virus that makes you cough. But people are also buying up all of the ammunition at several stores throughout the country. It's turning into, we all know, of course, and the biggest story, the number one story we're working on, a massive hit on this right now, is what's happening in the state of Illinois, where there is a town, Champaign, that is essentially going to nationalize liquor, food, guns, everything is all going to be in the purview of the state. So this is already coming to America on the local level. If President Trump were to ban interstate commerce, the little known fact that I cannot repeat enough, in this country, all groceries, all stores will run completely out of stock in about 48 hours, maybe 72, without semi-trucks coming with supplies each and every day. Truckers are instrumental to this economy. We used to have trains. They're still important, but fundamentally at this point, it is all trucks that transport goods. You can't fit this stuff in a plane. You can't get a train to where it needs to be. If there is a ban on interstate commerce, people are probably going to start flocking to these borders. People are going to probably make it impossible to actually travel on a highway. Who knows what that will do to the supply chain? They can only make things 100 times worse than they already are. By the way, in Italy, where it's a much smaller country, I mean, it's about the same size as South Korea, for example, there's videos showing the supermarket lines. People have to line up to go to the store. The only two reasons you can leave your house in Italy, I guess maybe three. One, to get medical help. Two, to get medicine that you've been prescribed. Or three, to go buy food. And in Italy, there are videos showing lines stretching for miles outside the stores onto major highways. People are having to line up that long. So this is something that this is all going to come to the United States. President Trump is likely being told that if he what he does is not commensurate with what Europe is doing, then he will be seen as weak. He will be blamed for the deaths due to coronavirus here in the United States. Of course, he's in a rock and a hard place situation, but it's going to be very difficult to defend the president. We have an open border with Canada. Canada was not included in the travel restriction. And I certainly hope she has a full and complete recovery. But Justin Trudeau, leader of Canada's wife, is ill with coronavirus. Of course, Mexico, the wall is only halfway complete. And we have 40 million illegal immigrants in this country. They've been saying 11 million since I was born 25 years ago. So if you listen to the official number, there are 11 million illegal immigrants in this country. Most actual estimates suggest up to 40. I've heard as high as 60. These people in California spreading bubonic plague, spreading diseases that we had previously eradicated that are now back, not because of the anti-vaxxers, which is what the left will tell you, but because we are allowing people into this country. We are allowing people to remain homeless on the streets in massive numbers. And it all started on the West Coast, and they get sick and they spread the illness. There was a report of a man, a homeless man in California, who was believed to have coronavirus. He was asked to self-quarantine. The government gave him a place to do it, and he left. And reportedly robbed a store and went on to do who knows what, spreading the virus all throughout. So again, I believe coming up on the other side, we're going to have Alex Jones interviewing Ted Nugent, but this is very real. And if I'm not back, Tom Papert, nationalfile.com, make sure to share the articles at newswars.com, where the analysis on coronavirus has been the best in the world. Nobody has been more on top of this virus than Alex Jones and the team at InfoWars, and I am very grateful to have had the ability to at least lend my voice to that from time to time. You're watching The Alex Jones Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This is a special Saturday emergency transmission. A national emergency has been announced. It is March 14th, 2020, only 233 days out from this historic election. Again, I am your host, Alex Jones. Well, Ted Nugent is our special guest, and he was on fire yesterday when I talked to him over the phone. I'm pretty much in agreement with him about the hysteria concerning this coronavirus. Since when did the land of the free, home of the brave, just run an abject, complete panic? But the left has come out and attacked the president for not doing enough. So when he did stop flights from China 4 weeks ago, they attacked that. Now, when he talks about controlling the borders, they're trying to block him and trying to stop the restrictions on flights that have not been screened for those that are sick from Europe. It's just amazing how they are contradicting themselves and openly hoping they can bring down the president. Earlier, I talked about this article out of the Atlantic Monthly where they're salivating, saying the Trump presidency is over. Coronavirus is all his fault. So they're going to use this crisis as much as they can to blame President Trump and to destabilize the country as they've been doing. Mexico is considering closing its border to stop Americans bringing coronavirus into the country as the cases mount past 2,000. So Mexico can close its border, but we can't, the left says. So the Motor City Madman joins us on this special Saturday edition. Ted, thanks for coming on with us.
My pleasure, Alex. I'm always ready, willing, and able, cock blocked and ready to rock, doc, as they say, to celebrate truth, logic, and common sense. And I think the most important thing about this, and you're right, you're damn right, this is a special Alex Jones broadcast, because my name is Ted Nugent, full-time. I am the Motor City Madman. There's not a damn thing you can do about that. And let me just bring the most important element that exists. And remember, I not only wrote Wango Tango, I meant it. But stop and think. I am the craziest, most intense, high-energy, defiant, you know, rock and roller in the history of noise. But let me bring the most important thing to the forefront. The Nugent family remains calm. We're not stockpiling any different than we haven't since the 1970s. I spent my morning with the dogs. I shot about 20 arrows from my Matthews bow. So that spirit of tranquility, calmness, and again, truth, logic, and common sense. Let me tell you, Alex, what I'm bringing to your radio show this morning, and you can rebroadcast it at will, because the most important element of this whole hysteria circling around the coronavirus, COVID-19 insanity, is that, and I'm not alone, by the way. I've been talking to my band and my crew and my management and my brothers and my sisters, my sons, my daughters, my grandkids this morning. My wife, Shemaine, is at my side here. She has a new book about quality of life, about health and happiness. I got to tell you, zero hysteria in the Nugent family. Zero hysteria in all the people I'm associated with. You know, conscientious, rational, thoughtful, always prepared. We're not the last Boy Scouts, but we're the real Boy Scouts. Alex, when I did 350 concerts a year in the late 60s and early 70s, and I never went to college. I was too busy learning stuff. So the most important thing I learned from my dad, who was a U.S. Army cavalry drill sergeant, it was to always be prepared. You didn't buy enough ammo for the weekend shooting. You bought enough ammo just in case. At this point, in March of 2020, nobody in the Nugent family is buying toilet paper. We're not buying water. We're not buying ammo or guns. We've had adequate supplies since about 1968. So the most important thing we can convey, and we will get into the horrors, the criminality, the glaring corruption and abuse of power that has run amok, especially throughout past administrations. And let me go from the ultra-calming to the ultra-condemning. as we are thoughtful in our daily lives. And again, I suspect that my buddy Alex Jones is the same way. You don't stockpile toilet paper when you're running out. You stockpile essentials so you don't run out. Now let's go to the horror of horrors. And yes, we pray for our fellow Americans and people around the world that are sick. Alex, in the current flu season, 22,000 Americans have died from flu.
At least.
Hysteria, zero. 350,000 people during this flu season were hospitalized. Hysteria and toilet paper stockpiling, zero. But I'm going to go right to the core of the criminality that brought this about.
That was my next question. What has triggered, well, the big corporations, big tech, Hollywood, China, the authoritarians set the model of welding citizens into their homes, shooting women in the head at checkpoints, drones barking orders to people, mass graves, burning bodies. They created this hysteria to hurt the U.S. economy and to blame President Trump. I said that 6 weeks ago, and now they're following that and saying it's all Trump's fault.
I'm a repeat offender when it comes to truth, logic, and common sense. I will say to you, Alex Jones, and everyone listening, what Ted Nugent said to you many, many years ago when we first talked. You know who brought all this about? You know who brought about the glaring criminality of Hillary Clinton and a James Comey? You know who allowed a communist and a jihad worshiper like Brennan to lead the CIA? Those guys are definitely traitors and punks and criminals. But you know who allowed it? We, the people of the United States of America, who didn't monitor our elected employees' conduct and living up to their oath of office to the U.S. Constitution. How dare an American citizen not monitor their elected employees to the point where they actually put the production and distribution and access to American families' medicine and antibiotics in the hands of the Chinese, Alex? Are you kidding?
Oh, absolutely. You've harped on that, so have I. I'm so glad Tucker Carlson's all over it, that most of our drugs come from China, and they're on record tainted, and the communist Chinese are bragging that they're making a windfall off of all this.
Yeah, they don't have to fire a shot, do they?
No.
I mean, so you know, we can talk about the origins. I, on my Facebook, boy, you want some wisdom. You want some common sense and truth logic.
I was on it last night. Amazing.
If I may, on the Alex Jones Show, a big, greasy, all-American, take-no-crap salute to the people on my Facebook. If you want to have increased fortification of your belief in your fellow Americans, you're not going to get it on the streets often if you witness the hysteria and toilet paper, you know, just mountains. If you really want to witness and have confidence in your fellow man, go to my Facebook, talking about smart, down-to-earth, sensible logisticians. The people on my Facebook, they've got all the information. Boy, we got some inner workings going on at my Facebook, too. On CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBC, how do these traitors in the media constantly reference the Chinese virus? That's their words. The Wuhan coronavirus.
And now you're supposed to say COVID-19, and it's America's fault.
And then the next week they condemn the president for cutting off travel from China, the endemic,
and calling it a foreign virus. They called that racist.
And then they call it racist. They're condemning people as being racist. By the way, they've always done this to me because I guess I just have too much soul from Detroit. But anyhow,
exactly, that's all they've got is lying.
They are condemning all of us as racists if we use the words that they've been using for 60 days.
Well, that's what I was going to say is again, Ted Nugent joins us here on the special Saturday transmission. We're going to re-air this on the live Sunday show coming up. That they say Trump's not doing enough. And then he starts to begin to put controls in, and they say, no, we're filing bills that you can't stop flights from these country's infested. It's like there's no logic. They're publicly waging war. It's all oxymoronical.
Well, the hypocrisy, I'm 71 years clean and sober, so my radars work pretty good. When I see information, I have reasonable amounts of historical evidence to either corroborate or dismiss the consistency of claims and dishonesty and lies and the hate from so much of the media and pretty much every Democrat out there. I mean, I can't believe that there is a human being in the United States of America, an American citizen, that is. God knows there's too many non-American citizens in this country. But to think that there is a party, an absolute political party in the United States of America, that even before COVID-19 pandemic, they were against securing our borders. Let me make it perfectly clear, Alex. You and I know, and everybody I know knows this to be self-evident truth. If you are against securing the borders of America, you qualify as the enemy of America. Only the enemy of a country would be against securing the borders. And anybody,
well, as you know, going back thousands of years ago to Rome or other countries, militaries were established and borders were established to stop plagues from coming in. That's one of the first reasons they created countries.
And let me bring another very toxic point up. And, of course, in extreme times, you have to be extremely honest. And let's be extremely honest. You know, I hear all about all men are created equal. Well, I believe if you're in China and you believe that, you know, I'm all for eating whatever meat you want. My friends in Africa and Asia, they eat dogs and cats, and they eat all kinds of guts and all kinds of bile and stuff, and have a nice day with that. But in the country of China, I hope your listeners know, and we should do a detailed scrutiny and expose.
You were telling me about it last night where they eat live frogs and just...
Well, they're not just the live frogs, but the guts, the entire, you know, intestinal tract.
Which again, isn't smart. That's all the bacteria, everything being processed. It's the crap.
Well, I hope your listeners know that there is an annual dog meat festival in China. Now, I'm not condemning the use of dog meat. A lot of people in our world rely on that source of protein. And I'm laying here with my beloved dogs. I genuflect at the altar of canine. Sadie is on my lap.
I have seen you personally spoil your dogs.
And you've met my dogs. You know how much we love our... Shemaine and I have a... What do you call it, Shemaine? We have an unhealthy relationship with our dogs. We love them so much. So let's establish that there has never been a human that loves dogs more than I do. But in China, Alex, and our fellow listeners on the Alex Jones Show, not only do they have a dog meat festival in China, but every year in the inner circle of the annual Chinese dog meat festival, there is an entire culture where they believe and they proceed and they continue the horror that the more you torture the dog, the more pain and suffering and howling and whining and crying you perpetrate upon that dog. They actually believe the meat has medicinal qualities and is good for you. Stop and grasp the evil in that culture. This is the same Asian culture of the Bataan Death March and the rape of Nanking, even though the shoe was on the other foot at that time. But I don't think your average American knows that, of course, there's going to be outrageous...
Not all cultures are equal. And if you expand on that, I don't know if you know about this, but it's been reported in law enforcement, go back hundreds of years, that Satanists like to torture children so that then the hormones and the endorphins are released before they drink the blood. That's a drug. And I'd read about China torturing the dogs as well to then get the hormones into the meat of the pain and the suffering. That is so... The point is, a lot of weird, sick stuff's going on in China.
Well, you know, you don't have to look to China. I mean, again, I get in a lot of trouble all the time, as you do, which I believe that guys like us are exactly what the Founding Fathers had hoped and prayed that all Americans would be like. I think a real American has to be a hellraiser. A real patriotic, real constitutional American has to constantly demand constitutional accountability from our elected employees and constantly spotlight cockroaches and constantly be suspicious of the media abusing their First Amendment rights while they try to take away our Second Amendment rights. But let's get right down to the core of evil in America. When you've got a Hillary Clinton that has as much power as she does. And by the way, she was supposed to be subpoenaed and have to testify under oath in this time zone when all of a sudden COVID-19 erupted. I'll let everybody contemplate that, and I'm sure you've delved into that. But stop and think. Hillary Clinton, she was mentored by Saul Alinsky, the author of Rules for Radicals, whose book is dedicated to Satan. I'm not making this up. Anybody who's been paying attention knows that Hillary Clinton's hero was Saul Alinsky, and his book, Rules for Radical, which is basically the Bible of the left, including Nancy Pelosi, and including Beto O'Rourke, including Chuck Schumer, all those Democrats believe in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, a book that Hillary Clinton studied under that was dedicated to Satan, the great manipulator.
You're absolutely right. Right there on page two, he says that this is dedicated to Lucifer, the original revolutionary.
So Americans, again, I'm going to go right back, and this is where I piss people off and ask me if I give a damn. Apathy is way worse than liberalism. Apathy is way worse than COVID-19. Apathy is way worse than communism because it allows a Bernie Sanders to flourish. Apathy is worse than the corruption and the criminal abuse of power of a Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden, because Americans were so disconnected and uninvolved that they let these monsters attain so much control. Thank God President Donald Trump has spotlighted these cockroaches and has actually admitted that there is a deep state and the swamp has to be drained. I got to tell you, Alex, the Nugent family prays for this great president every day because he has taken on a task that is more important than anything since Concord Bridge.
I totally agree with you. In the time we have left here, I want to read you a few of these headlines. This is, again, out of The Atlantic. That's the leftist mouthpiece, as you know, from the establishments. This is what they are thinking. The Trump presidency is over. It has taken a good deal longer than it should have, but Americans have now seen the con man behind the curtain. They go on to blame the Wuhan virus on President Trump. To me, that's just absolutely amazing. Meanwhile, Google-funded tech chief resigns after wishing Trump die from the coronavirus. They're all hoping that he secretly has that, while the Communist Party officially blames it as a U.S. bioweapon with no proof. What do you make of that, Ted Nugent?
Well, all we have to do is, I got to tell you, I know President Donald Trump and his family. He's a clever guy. I think we've talked before, Alex, that if your child is dying and the only way to get to the island with medicine is on your enemy's ship, you would get on your enemy's ship, take the medicine to save your child's life, and then kill your enemy.
Yes.
Boy, that's extreme, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But you do it.
It's like the choice of going about your daily life unarmed and helpless, so maybe you could join all the other victims of being unarmed and helpless. Unarmed and helpless is a choice, and if you're unarmed and helpless, here's an alert from the Motor City Madman. You are unarmed and helpless. Have a nice day. My point being is that you watch this president. Yes, the past administrations gave absolute life and death control of our medicines and antibiotics to the damn communists in China. Alex, this is like me hiring, you know, John Wayne Gacy to watch my children. This is bizarro, indecent, criminal corruption. And why? So that they could enrich their individual lives, both monetarily and politically. That kind of deep swamp, deep state swampage is now in the crosshairs of a great, great president and a lot of Republicans that I have more faith in today than I have in my 71 years celebrating the American
dream. Well, you're
right.
That's the good news, is that their pedophile rings, their corruption, the Jeffrey Epstein stuff, the sellout to Russia and China, the globalist positioning our country to be taken down by China, all of that is behind the eight ball. We've turned it around. So they're trying to target those of us that tell the truth. They're trying to lie about us. They're trying to put us in jail. They're trying to do all this stuff, but it's not working because the people understand now and are awake. America, I think, was asleep before, extremely apathetic. It's still somewhat groggy and half asleep. But more and more people are waking up every day. And the more people wake up and stop being apathetic and speak out and stand up for what's right, the more the deep state corrupt leftist understand that their time has come to an end.
A lot of my friends ask me, so what should I do, Ted? Well, do what I've been doing since I was about 40. It took me a long time. I was apathetic because I was spoiled until the heroes of the military and law enforcement embraced me, and I started spending time with them, listening to how in 1979, the U.S. Marine warriors were put on guard and security duty at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran, but they weren't allowed to have ammo for their M16s. Stop and think about the rules of engagement that the heroes of our military have been subjected to, where they couldn't return fire when they're being shot at.
So that's how the left constantly ties our hands. Let me ask you this. I know you only have a few more minutes. It's been great having you on. We only have 233 days out here from this historic election, and Trump's been working his ass off. He's 73 years old. He's one of the only people I know, you know, that's that age that has energy. You're a few years his junior, and I think you have even more than him. But just what do we do to support Trump? What can we do to not be apathetic? What are some of the actions? People say, okay, I don't want to be apathetic. Well, they can share this interview at band.video. They can share it to your Facebook. They can tell people about what's happening. They can speak up. They can run for office. They can join a shooting club. They can, I mean, what else can people do to not be apathetic?
Well, boy, that's an entire program, and we should do that as soon as possible, because we should be constantly communicating in all the different social media, the good old phone calls and letters and emails to our elected employees, supporting this president and bullet pointing all the accomplishments. I mean, his accomplishments are unprecedented. We need to constantly communicate with our elected employees that we believe in Donald Trump and we want to reelect him. In fact, I have a hat right now. I'm sure you've seen it. A guy made a smart-ass comment at one of my meetings last year's tour, which, by the way, the 2020 tour will be the best tour of my life as long as they don't cancel the damn thing. But what we can do is recruit and make sure people are registered to vote and communicate with our elected employees. And I would tell you this, to synopsize my instructions, everybody should go to hunternation.org, hunternation.org. And if all the real conservatives, God, family, country conservatives, especially in the hunting community, the Second Amendment community.
Exactly. Not just America. Make it the work of politics and fighting the left, but the culture of hunting and fishing and trapping and camping and just getting back to rugged individualism. We have to just induct people into that, and they'll be addicted, and then they'll get others involved.
The current demographic of licensed hunters in this country are the most apathetic of all. We proved in 2016 the top three hunting states in America, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And believe me, this is irrefutable. We finally crowbarred that demographic to get out, register, and vote in 2016. And it was those three top hunting states in America that made the difference. So go to hunternation.org. And we've got to get family, friends, coworkers, people at church and school, people at work, we got at our hunting camps, at the barbecue, at the bowling alley. You got to register to vote, and you got to vote God, family, country, which would be Donald Trump. But go to hunternation.org, and you'll see the events that we're putting on all across this country to get real conservatives for God, family, country to register and vote.
And by the way, didn't the Brazilian president get that from you? Which is great, because the most sincere form of flattery is imitation. God, family, country.
I'm telling you, that's the missing link. It's the epicenter of apathy in this country. And what we're going to do is we're going to register conservatives, and we're going to beg, borrow, plead, scold, and berate if we have to. Maybe hit them upside the head with a crowbar. But you've got to register and vote. If you don't vote God, family, and country, then the Satanists on the left will continue to destroy everything that is the last best place in the world, and that's the United States of America. Case closed.
Well, amazing. We've only got 2 minutes. We've got a break. We're going to let you go. So you've got a lot to do, and I appreciate the fact that you have tirelessly been fighting, because you're absolutely right. You helped energize those key states that swung for being blue back to red for President Trump. And Trump is more popular than ever, but they've got such election fraud. They've got illegal aliens being registered all over the country to vote. The Democrats used to deny that. Now there's all the footage of them at the DMVs getting their licenses, being able to vote. I mean, it's just absolute treason. And now the Democrats, with the drag queen story times officially funded by the Democratic Party, literally taking kids to convicted pedophiles in many cases and having them sit on their laps. And now we have new footage our reporter got in just yesterday where they're openly, the drag queens are having protests, men in clown outfits, at schools saying, we want to get rid of parental rights. We want your children. We're going to, quote, groom them. So we literally have men in clown outfits dressed up like It the Clown saying, give us your children. What in the hell is going on? This really just shows how scummy the left in Hollywood is and what they've turned into.
Well, Harvey Weinstein is their hero, right? And he was a close friend of Epstein's, and he was a close friend of Bill and Hillary Clinton and James Comey and Brennan. And, I mean, it's really Planet of the Apes out there, the corruption and the criminality. But it's the it's not the criminality that is the horror. It's the good people of America that know it and don't do a damn thing. So it's apathy. Apathy, apathy. And if you're out there stockpiling toilet paper, but you don't vote, I hope you run out.
Exactly, because you go panic when everybody else does, but you're not getting involved to stop the giant wave of corruption. In closing, Shimei, I know she's a big part of your hit TV show and really amazing, just as smart as you are, smarter when I'm about to talk to her on the phone and at your house and stuff. Please, as soon as you guys want, drive down to Austin. We'll come up, interview you guys about the new book that she's got out. Tell us about the new book about lifestyle.
You got it. Well, Shimei has written a wonderful new book, and she's literally, if you go on her Facebook or her Instagram, the social media, but I want to thank everybody because, boy, talking about positive spirit and funny and smart and engaged. Man, if everybody in America was like the average Ted Nugent Facebooker, Comey would be in jail, Susan Rice would be in jail, Lois Lerner would be in jail, Hillary Clinton would be in jail, Eric Holder would be in jail, and Barack Obama would be in jail. Because they're all liars and they did way worse crimes than Roger Stone. Anybody wants to argue with that, give it a shot.
Well, that's it. Because it's not just apathy. People don't mind having their territory, their freedom overrun. And when people see a Ted Nugent who's got a lot of energy or an Alex Jones has a lot of energy, they say, these guys are crazy. No, this is what everybody was like 100 years ago, folks. And this is what America's all about. It's not backing down. And it's that spirit that the Motor City Madman Ted Nugent is helping get out there, that you, the listeners or viewers, are helping get out there, that has turned the tide. And yeah, they're trying to go after and punish those of us that have led the charge, but that's okay. But just stick with us because this is one hell of a fight. We're going to hang together or hang separate, as Benjamin Franklin said. All right, TedNugent.com. Ted, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Alex Jones, truth, logic, and common sense forever.
Thank you so much, sir.
Godspeed, man.
Speaking of apathy, this little clip from V for Vendetta, I think, lays out what we're dealing with, and we'll go to break, and I'll come back, and we'll look at how they're trying to put yours truly behind bars.
There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
We think, just let me think.
I suspect even now, orders are being shouted into telephones, and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Sutler.
Damn it.
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words are for the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. But the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and soliciting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others. They will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic, you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.